We're in lesson 13 in the book of Daniel, and we thank Grace School of Bible for providing this material, but also in Daniel chapter 1, starting with verse 6. Daniel chapter 1, verse 6. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. He gave unto Daniel the name Belshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, in the changing of these names, there is a clear attempt being made to influence and bring these young men to conform with the customs of Babylon. Now, if you know anything about, there's a religion out there called Islam. And if you got a Gentile name, like Ed, you can change your name. And usually you change it to something that is appeasing to the god of Islam. So you think about what they're doing in the country. They're trying to change their name. And what did Paul say? One of the verses we looked at before. What does Paul say about being conformed? Does he say be conformed to this world? No. He says be not conformed to this world. And there's an attempt to conform this group of young men to religion and the culture and the standards and the education of Babylon. But what did Daniel do? What did Daniel say he's not going to do?
He's not going to defile himself.
Where did he purpose it at?
In his heart.
We can purpose a lot of things in our mind, can't we? We can purpose a lot of things in our life, period. But in the heart, that's where the real issue is, in the heart issue. And we are, you know, we looked a lot of lessons before about the Baal worship in this. And the reason that Daniel doesn't want to drink the wine and eat the meat set before him is not because he don't like meat. Okay? He's not a vegetarian. The problem is that the meat was and the drink was what? Sacrificed to idols, offered to idols. And the king always ate and drank the best and the portion of that meat and drink, which was offered to the idols. Daniel is saying that he's not going to be a part of that idolatrous position. Now, did he go to school there? Did he eat? I mean, did he sleep there? Was he educated? Yes. But he wasn't going to be a part of that idolatrous worship. And Daniel had just come from Jerusalem, didn't he? And Nebuchadnezzar had just taken Israel and Jerusalem captive because of idolatry. That's why they fell, wasn't it? They was going back into the things they was going. Because Israel comprised with idolatry, and they didn't purpose in their heart not to defile themselves, but rather they placed idols in their hearts. We looked at some verses already about that, haven't we? How they came out of Egypt. Remember last lesson? When they came out of Egypt, And Moses heard drums beating down there, and Joshua said, "Hey, they're warring." And Moses said, "No, they're not warring, they're not dancing." And what did they do? They built an idol. And said that idol, that God, brought them out of Egypt. Go to the book of Ezekiel. Go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8. Ezekiel was another young man who was carried off into Babylon captivity. And notice Ezekiel's prophecy on how Israel had compromised itself. They had set up idols in their hearts. And Israel's heart is full of idolatry. This idolatry is something that are completely compromised with. And Daniel had an example of that. See, he knowed what that was all about. And Daniel had kept himself clean from idolatry when he was at home in Jerusalem as a young man, a teenage man, and he was carried off. So he knew what idolatry was going on in Jerusalem. You with me? Because Jerusalem wasn't a holy, holy place, right? When we already found out that they already been compromised. But Daniel purposed in his heart as a young man, he knew what that was going on around him. Listen, today, can you see what's going on around you in a religious system that's not pleasing to God? Sure you can. Can those young eyes and ears and minds out there can see the difference between studying the Word of God, right and divine, and understanding God through the grace message versus being under law and under condemnation? Sure they can. Daniel had this as an example, and he kept himself clean of idolatry. And he knows in his heart that God has put Israel into captivity because of that compromise and the idolatry and the Baal worshiping. He knows that. He's seen that. Hey, there's not a person here sitting here today can't look out there and see that's going on. Right? Be honest. True. And so when he was in Babylon, he went by the teaching of the Word of God and by the example that he had in Jerusalem. So when they took him as a young man, he didn't forget about that, did he? He knowed in his heart what God wanted. And during Ezekiel's chapter 9, 10, 11, we looked at in early lessons that God departed from Jerusalem and from the temple. Remember? Going, going, gone. Remember that? Say yes. Appease me a little bit. Yeah, we remember that. I got it in my notes because I'm going to be tested on a couple of weeks. But look, the glory of God went out and a slow, progressive movement away from that city. If you remember, he gets up from the mercy seat, he goes to the threshold, and then he goes out to the mountains. Going, God left Israel politically there. That's why the times of the Gentiles started coming in. And other kings started coming in. He left them. They was no longer a nation not to be reckoned with. There was a nation that was starting to be mingling with other nations. These chapters are really one vision which began in Ezekiel chapter 8. And Ezekiel chapter 8 through 11 is one unit altogether. And it's important you see the reason that the glory of God leaves. Ezekiel chapter 8 verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 8 verse 1. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month. They're down to just almost about the hour, aren't they? They know exactly. I sat in my house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell of there upon me. You know what Ezekiel's having there? He's having a Bible study. And with the elders, and he gets a vision from who?
God.
From the Lord, yeah. Verse 5. Then say he unto me, Son of man, lift up thy eyes now the way towards the north. So I lifted up my eyes the way towards the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, the image of jealousy in the entry. The Spirit of God had transported Ezekiel to Jerusalem by prophetic vision, and he's looking at the temple. And what does he say it's at the gate? The image of what?
God.
Jealousy. Yeah, is in that gate. And prophetically, it's the Antichrist setting up the abomination that makes it disciplined. So Ezekiel's looking from way back here all the way over here. You with me? And he sees that jealousy there. Historically, it's a reference of idols that Manasseh set up in the temple in 2 Kings chapter 21. From that time they left Egypt, Israel carried idols with them. And they carried an adulterous temple for the idols to live in with them while they wandered 40 years in the wilderness. They still kept them idols. 40 years. You know what 40 means in the Bible? What's that?
Generation.
Generation, but it also means probation. Okay, 40 years they've been tried and stuff. You know nobody over 20 survived that? So a whole group of people died off, and all that stuff's supposed to die off, but did it? Nope. And that's why every time one of the kings would get right with God in your Bible, he would always have an idolatrous image to break up. See, he was worshiping an image over here, but when God set him right and he got right with God, he went over and broke it, got rid of it. But he always had it. Hey, I know stuff about that. You know, I could probably look all in my house down there and I'm like, wait a minute, that looks like an idol. You know, I don't need to worship that. I'm worshiping this over here. Break it. That type of thing. It probably, you know what I'm talking about. We all got stuff in our house. Maybe TV. Not. TV's one of them. Big one-eyed monster. And they always kept the image so they could get them out and dust them off and start worshiping when God, the Creator, didn't have nothing to do. You ever notice that Israel, if they didn't see God following them or heard from God or God was doing this, they didn't think God was with them. They went right back doing whatever they wanted to do. Today, do you see God's hands down here? Do you see God's pillar of smoke of day and fire at night and all that stuff? You see that going on? No. He lives in your heart. You have, by faith, you have to believe that. And I believe that's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't understand the God of the Bible and come to understanding of Jesus Christ and believe the right division and believe the grace message, because they don't see God. You know what I mean? If they see him, it terrifies them. Yeah, I'm straightening up like a lawman. You're driving down the roads 80 miles an hour, you see one sitting in the middle, guess what you do? You pull over in front of me and make me back off about 15 miles an hour and I'm falling too close. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Makes me like I'm, you know, and he could pull me over because I'm falling too close. It's a racket. No. He's a lawman out there. Verse 6 through 10. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou that they do? What are they doing? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committed here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. What's he doing?
Walking away.
The glory is going to what? Leave the temple. But turn ye thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, and behold the hole in the wall, thee said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold a door. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abomination that they do there. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, and abomination of beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. That's not a good thing, is it? They're hiding that stuff in the temple, behind that door back there. And they think that God don't know about it. You can't hide nothing from God. I don't even try. He knows me. He knows me. He knows what potential I have. He knows how bad I can be too. You guys don't have that problem in the flesh. No, not at all. But look, these people are such in idolatry, it's unbelievable. You think today is bad. They had it back then. God's people, that people, you know what surprised me is? You've got groups of people out there, religious people making thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars a year convincing you to give them money to stay on pulpit to teach you things and want you to be a part of a system that God's not doing anymore. They want you to be a part of Israel, and God's not dealing with Israel today. You understand what I'm saying? That's the same thing there. So you're seeing, what does this remind you of? What's it? Don't Paul give us kind of hint in Romans chapter 1, verse 23, when he gave up the Gentile nations at the Tower of Babel and they left to walk in their own ways? Don't that kind of seem like the same thing like it's going on? And they take the image of the incorruptible God and make it an image of like beast and four-footed beasts and creeping things? He gave them up back there long before Abraham. So all that images and stuff is still around, guys. And it's going to be until he comes cleaned up, right? So it is the same thing that has happened to the nation Israel. And Israel, the nation of God's people, has fallen and sunken to the level of the nations around them. They didn't elevate themselves up to be who God wanted them to be. They came down to earth. God's got a standard back out there, guys. He's got a standard in grace. He's got a standard in law. He never drops that for anybody. You do not get a participation trophy for that. You have to come to God and be God's standard. Then He gives you a trophy. And the people who had the light and the glory of God in the midst, the people who of whom it could be said there is no other nation on earth that is, has God so near them, are just like the heathen all around them. Now, you may never ever thought about that before, because we always told, you know, we always sing little children's stories, right? How that God's Israel and Israel's winning wars and battles. They don't show you that dark side of them, do they? Kind of scary. Because you know what? They're people just like you and I. Ezekiel 8:11. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancient of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood, what's that name? Jenaniah? Jazaniah, the son of Zaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. These 70 men are the 70 elders who ruled the nation, like in Numbers chapter 11 when Moses established them, okay? They are the leaders of the nation, and what do they do? Verse 12. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imaginary? For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. You know what? These men are down in their chambers of their hearts, are imagining vain things down there. Now, who are these people?
Of
Israel, yeah. And they're doing things back there. Go to Ezekiel chapter 14. It's funny, he says, the Lord seeth us not. But he's telling Ezekiel this, you know what I mean? You don't find that interesting, do you? You can't hide nothing. Verse 14, 1-4. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me, and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart. It is showing what is in the hearts of these men. These men are still priests of the Lord and leaders of Israel. They were in where? The temple of God. And they had an outward form of true worship of God. We see that all the time, don't we? But where's their heart? Their heart wasn't worshiping God. They are doing one thing and going through the motions, but their heart isn't in it. We always tell people all the time, your heart's got to be in it. I see what you're doing out there, but your heart's not in it. If your heart's not in it, you might as well go on. You know, that type of thing. And you can have the head knowledge, can't you? I've watched many people come through here, and they had a head knowledge of God's word, rightly divided, and all, but they didn't have their hearts set. You know, they had the grace message, but the grace message didn't get them to let it sink down inside of them like, well, I can't do this on my own. You know, I can't force this message, and they get all disembobulated and stuff, and they're like, don't know what to do, and they just give up. Well, just relax. Get back into the Word. Let the Word of God build you up. The leaders of the nation of Israel are in idolatry. Back in Ezekiel 8. You're still there, right? Ezekiel 8? Okay, go to 8. I should have told you don't leave 8. I'm sorry. It's not like it's 15 books ahead. Come on, guys. A couple chapters. Ezekiel 8, verse 13. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again, And thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which is towards the north. And behold, there sat a woman weeping for Tammuz. Tammuz, you know who he was?
God of
what?
God of the flocks.
Okay, flocks. What's a flocks?
Birds.
Not birds.
Sheep.
Not sheep. Tammuz was a son of the god. Was a son of the goddess of the sun. And in Baal worship system, there you have Madonna, right? Madonna the woman. And the child is Tammuz in the Bible. You know the woman and child they call Mary and Jesus? It's really this person. Okay? And Tammuz had two things happen in his life. And listen to this very careful. One, that he dies. The second, he's later resurrected. Does that sound familiar? Okay? He dies in the fall of the year as the god of agriculture. And in the spring, he's what?
Raised up.
Resurrected. Like right now, everything dead, he died. Right? Season type, agriculture type thing. And these women are not weeping because of their sin or the judgment of God. They're weeping because Tammuz, as though he was a child that died. That's why they're saying, oh, whoa, he's dead, he's dead. The agriculture's dying out there. Sun God. Ezekiel 8:15. Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abomination than these. Now he's walking through and showing these things like, wow, ain't that enough? No, turn again. I'm going to show you greater abominations. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. Now, he's walking through the temples. And you can imagine what the Gentiles' court looks like, right? Now he's going inside the inner courts of the temple, of the Lord's house. God is taking Ezekiel from the door of the inner court of the temple where the priests are. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, with their backs towards the temple of the Lord and their faces towards the east, and they was worshiping the sun towards the what?
East.
Imagine that. You don't know anybody does that, do you? You don't know anybody goes three times a day, they turn, no matter what they are, they bow to the east and pray. Listen, I've traveled this great land. I've been everywhere, man. I'm not going to sing the song, but look. I've watched people in truck stops. I've watched people in rest areas. And they're down on blankets going to the east. I didn't need a compass. I can follow. You know, I'm going east. You know, we live down on US 40 now. And US 40 is east and west. And that sun comes up and you're running. You're going east. And that sun's like, whoa. This time of morning nowadays, that sun's right there in your eyeballs. Like, wow. You know. They're worshiping that stuff towards the east. And they worship. These priests are in the temple pretending to worship Jehovah, but they are deep in Baal worshiping the sun. And where they got their backs to?
The Lord.
They got their backs to the temple. Hey, we'll get to there eventually, but you know that when God set that worship system up, we'll get to Daniel. Wasn't Daniel praying three times a day? Where did he was praying to?
Jerusalem.
Whether north, east, south, west, wherever you are, you prayed to Jerusalem three times. He made it the way that you could worship God in Jerusalem no matter where you're at. Now, where do you pray to? Do you pray toward Jerusalem today?
No.
No. You pray to God Almighty, don't you? They are deep in idolatry. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? There's a question. Have you seen it? I'm showing it to you. What would be the answer there?
Yes.
Yes. It is a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abomination which they commit here. For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, They put the branches to their nose. Okay, just imagine that, what they're doing. They're taking branches and what? You ever thought about that statement? They don't care about God the Creator. Okay? They don't care about Jehovah. How many times in your Bible do you know Jesus Christ being a branch? How many times in your Bible is it listed? You know? No. He's portrayed as a branch. He's the vine, but he's also the branch. Isaiah 4, Jeremiah 23, Zechariah 3, and Zechariah 6. These are the Lord Jesus Christ called title, the branch, the big B. Okay, he is the vine, but he's also the branch. Each one of those four references is a particular characteristic of Jesus Christ that reflects in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We went through this in the Matthew study. And it portrays the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author of life, the branch. You know that, don't you? Without me going back through that. This idolatrous system has taken that title. And they have developed their own idolatrous source of life. God is love, therefore the love is God, and the highest act of man can perform to create life. You know, they start changing things and all. You don't see that going on today, do you? Yes, you do. That's why the tremendous sexual abomination is involved in the religion. That's what they're down there creeping, calling things and animals and all that stuff. Man with men and women left the use of a man and that type of thing. It's going on there, back here. It will never happen today. Or ages to come. Yes. TV's full of that stuff nowadays too, isn't it? The word is used in the word of phallus in the Greek. And it shows up all over. You know what they're doing? When they put the branch to the nose, they're thumbing their nose up to God. You know, there's every culture in the world's got their way they do stuff. You know, that type of thing. They're thumbing their name up to God. They're thumbing them up to you. They're all wrapped up in Baal worship, guys. Imagine that. Verse 18. Hey, let me ask you something before we go any further. Where is this happening at? Is it after David where we're at? Daniel. It's after David's done come and gone, ain't he? Solomon's done come and gone. The hierarchy of Israel being the predominant in the land is gone. So that's about right here. That hasn't changed. When John the Baptist came on this land, they was deep in idolatry. Jesus Christ, they didn't even recognize him. You know, that's why when we use this Bible timeline here, this line here represents true Israel. You've got to picture another line running on here with false Israel, apostate Israel, doing the same thing as Israel was, so that people wouldn't know the difference. Listen, today in the religion out there today, you can bring your kids up and they wouldn't know the difference between a grace church and any other denomination church. You with me? And I've said this time and time again, because just because you got a cross out there as your grace in your name or Bible name, don't make you a grace believer, Bible believer. And it definitely don't make you a mid-Acts dispensationalist. Verse 18. Therefore will I also deal in fury. My eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet I will not hear them. Now, this is something, isn't it? God is saying that the judgment is coming and there'll be no mercy. He tells Jeremiah not to pray for these people. And that's a sad situation, isn't it? Because they are what? Apostated. And I tell people all the time, you talk to people, well, I prayed to God last night. Well, which God did you pray to? Because you don't know if the man's saved or not. God's not going to hear them. until they trust what Christ did. When they hear the gospel, when they believe in their heart, guess what? They have a connection with God, the Creator. God, the Creator, ain't listening to a lost man out here praying that he wants to win a lottery ticket or get me a job. But some God is. That's sad, but you got to really bring your mind around some things. They started out in the truth, didn't they, guys? They had the Word and to worship God. And there's a tremendous example in Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 11. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and amidst of them stood Jezaniah and the son of Zaphan. You know who Zaphan is? Zaphan? Is I pronouncing that right? Go to 2 Kings 22. You know who Zaphan is? Zaphan? Come on, you Bible scholars out there. Not Japan. Zaphan was a scribe of King who?
Hilkiah?
Well, wait a minute. He was a scribe of the king Josiah. Yeah, thank you. Josiah. There you go. He told me. Who was the grandson of Manasseh? And there was a tremendous revival under Josiah. Is I'm saying that right? Josiah. Thank you. And here's the reason. Okay? There was a great revival going on this time. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 8. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Zaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Zaphan, and he read it. And Zaphan, I'm going to pronounce that 16 different ways before I finish here. The scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thou servants had gathered the money which was found in the house and had delivered it into the hand of them that do the work. They had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Zaphan, the scribe, showed the king, saying, Hilkiah, the priest, had delivered me a book. And Zaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. Listen, he's hearing some things that he ain't heard before, ain't he? He's hearing some good news. He's hearing some words of God. The book of the law had been found and was read in Josiah. King Josiah commanded the people to do the things contained in the book of the law, and there was a revival because the word of God was spread in the midst of them again. Hey, they're hearing the words of God. Words of God illuminating off the pages of the book and getting inside of them and changing them. Does that still happen today? You better believe it. Faith comes by hearing. And even when you're saved, you might be thinking, oh man, my spirit ain't doing nothing. Get the word right to divide inside of you. It's going to make a difference in your life. He is a great figure in a revival under Josiah, going out and teaching the word of God and teaching the truth of God. Now, Zaphan had three sons. And two which was good friends of Jeremiah. And are mentioned in the book of Jeremiah. This son, Jezaniah, is in total apostate. And it's hard to imagine Jezaniah, who had such a good, God-fearing example of a father in Zaphan, could be a leader among idolatrous animal worship of Baal in the midst of Israel's temple. And there's no doubt he was a living example to Daniel of the fruits and results of the compromise. So Daniel seen this guy, the son of this Zaphan that had this big, and goes, Jeremiah, all them friends, seen that guy, how he was acting and having that God-fearing family, and turned to idolatry. And when you go back to Daniel chapter 1, you'll see Daniel determined not to compromise. You know what he did? He didn't see one reason to compromise eating that meat and drinking that wine. Didn't have no compromise. You know where compromise always leads to, guys? You fall. You become a Jezaniah burning incense in the house of God to the devil. And there's a whole lot of people compromising, aren't they? There's a whole lot of people out there cutting corners there, and pretty soon you'll be like Jezaniah swinging incense in the house of the Lord and in a church that's supposed to be the pillar and ground of truth. You've got to watch this. It's my responsibility as Bishop of Dispensation Mantra to guard that. Now, you in your own heart have to deal with God, you know, but I can't let you come in here swinging incense. I can't let you come in here preaching another gospel. You know why? Because we just need to cut that corner. You just got to get off the King James Bible. We can get more people in here. That's why they're not coming in here. Oh, yeah, compromise. You got to sing more songs. You got to have a band up here. You got to project the words on the screen, because we don't want to carry a Bible no more. You don't see that going on, do you? Yes, you do. You know it's out there, don't you? You know, always. And you're out there among the body of Christ drawing people into the things that shouldn't be there. We say that all the time, man. I watch people growing and their church seem like they're growing, and you know, they got bands and lectured this and lectured that, and I'm like, maybe we should do that. No. You know, you can do that. Listen, well, I tell people all the time, most you might get here is a cup of coffee and a cookie now and then. But we sing one song, take prayer requests, and get right into the Word of God. I think this is a lot important. Singing songs are too, don't get me wrong. But look, Daniel purposed where?
In his heart.
And compromise never pays. And what does Daniel do? Purpose in his heart, he determined his heart would not defile himself. Remember we talked about the importance of purity? You know, I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't hang around with people who do that type of thing. You know, that type of thing. And you better not, that type, you know, all that. And you need to back up your life on what you preach. I don't go to movies, I don't play cards and all that thing. That's not the issue. The issue is having purity in the matters of faith first and foremost. Am I being pure to God? Are you with me? That's what Daniel was. Daniel still was sleeping where they were sleeping. You know what I'm getting at? He was still involved in that economy. He was just not going to defile himself. And if you're faithful to the Lord, guess what God's going to be? Faithful to you. And it doesn't make any sense what dispensation we live in, guys. Daniel and his contemporary was living under what? The law, wasn't he? And if it's true for them under the law, how much more would it be true under grace? We talk about that all the time, don't we? How true is that? God has made all grace abound unto you, and with all sufficient in all things, might abound in every good work. And how much more would it be true of you and me if we did that? And if you are faithful to God and the truth of God and the truth that He gives you, then He will be faithful to you. We know God is. You know, we know He's faithful. But how faithful and true are we to Him? You know what I'm saying? I don't want to preach at you. I'm just sharing some things with you. We all can learn. What's the results of the wisdom and attack of Daniel uses the approach in this subject? You're back in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, He requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he may not defile himself. Now notice this. Did Daniel jump up and down on the table and run through the courts and demand that he do not do this?
No.
Did he?
He did not.
Okay. He didn't jump up on the table and say, look at me, I'm taking a stand. I'm not doing that. You know, a lot of people do, don't they? Mm-hmm. They beat their chest, look at me, I'm not going to do this. Maybe I've done that when I was younger, in dispensational truth coming up. I'm not doing that. That's not right. And so many years later, I'm like, man, I just put myself under law. I watched people that come brought me into this message years ago, 25 years ago or more, brought us, and now, you know, they beat their chest about being a grace believer and a King James Bible believer and right divider, did this, and, you know, I take a stand. I'm not doing that. No longer with us anymore. Went back to their Calvinism ways. That type of thing. Reverted right back into that. When the time came, Daniel took a stand and he said to eunuch, I have a request of you. See how he did that? Listen, I've had 10, 15, 20 bosses in 18 years. And each one of them, you know, not doing different things, but I'm thinking, and it might not, it went across against the grain, and it may infuriate me, you know. And I'm going in there, I'm like, this is not right. Is that the right approach? It really wasn't. I have a request of thee. Hear me out. Just listen. Instead of going there banging a drum and say, I demand this stuff. I don't want to defile myself, guys. And Daniel shows and teaches the eunuch by the book what he wants to do. Hey, that's a teaching moment and everything, ain't it? And I hope, and I've said this from day one, I hope I'm never old enough that I can be taught some. And you guys teach me quite often. And Brother Leon shaking his head, he understands that too, don't you, brother? You know, you're never too old to learn. I always tell you, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. You heard that. You know how you make the horse drink? You salt the oats. And your speech is seasoned with what? You get people thirsty for this truth, they'll come to it. You know, if you feed them vinegar, they're not going to come to it. I like vinegar. I like pickle juice. You know, I like it. But that's not my favorite drink. But look, let me clear his eyes up a little bit. But look, isn't it good to know that when we stand, God is there? And it's good to know that no matter how insignificant it may look to you, God is there. He sees and He knows what you're going through. And He knows how you should respond. Listen, I've watched people make decisions, and I probably have in the past too. And I make decisions based on emotions. Okay? And they're in dire straits. Well, just take a breath. Breathe. Relax. Breathe. It's not the end of the world. Just think about the decision you're going to make. And in Daniel chapter 1, verse 9, now God brought Daniel in favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. You know, God had already worked in Daniel's behalf. You see that? And Daniel probably didn't even know that God was working on his behalf. Even though the eunuch didn't have a daily exchange with Daniel and the others, because Daniel was a what? Not only that, but he was a
former prince.
No, if what I'm getting, he's a slave. He was brought to be in slavery, and he wouldn't go in there night and day with him. You know what I'm talking about? And he already knew that Daniel was different. Hey, when people gets around you, sometimes you walk into a crowd. Do they know you're different, or you just walk right in there and just? They never know you're there. There's a new movie coming out. I think it's on History Channel or something about Jesus Christ. I'm watching that and I'm like, wow, Jesus got short hair. They're actually making a movie with Jesus with short hair. I mean, his hair was right here. I'm like, I might watch that. You know? So you're watching things like that and you're like, that's different. You're different. Daniel had a life that he already reflected in the genuine nature of the commitment that he had made. That is purity of life. He knew that standard when he was left there. It probably wasn't pleasant for him to be drugged out of his hometown. Can you imagine that? You see it on wars and stuff like that and dragging you out and evacuating you. This is why the sins of the flesh ought not to be in your life. This is why in your life should not, your life should be under control, guys. This is why it should be. Control the outer sins, whether they be drunkenness, debauchery, or just looseness. Control the sins of the spirit, the irascibility, the anger, the malice, envy, pride, covetous. They're all there. It's tough, isn't it? Do I get an amen? Do I get a witness? But anyway, you need to be, you have, and this is hard, have a sweet, gentle, loving, kind, outgoing spirit in it. Which is easier? To blow up and be mad, or just, that's okay, things happen. We'll get by with this. You know, that changes the deal, because when I was having my kids at home, and they knew they did something wrong, and I was coming home, they get the wrath of God. And they're like, wrath of Dad, rather. And they're like, but how many times would it make a difference if I said, that's okay. You know, that's okay. Things happen. Let's just look at it a different way. It shows the reality of God at work. And Daniel had already found some favors and some influences. Go to, we're getting ready to close. Go to Psalms 106. Hey, do you know there's a chance that we may not be here next week?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Chance we might not be
here tomorrow. That's right. So just bear with me. I don't get to see you guys but once a week. I know if some of you got to go, there's a back door that goes nowhere right back there. It's locked. You can't get out. Just look. Look. There's a number of verses in the Bible and a number of people that come in mind with the same spirit. You remember Joseph? Mm-hmm. He found favor with who?
Pharaoh.
Thank you. Y'all stay with me now. I know all them cookies and all that stuff are gone. Y'all should be. One thing ain't about sugar in it. It gave me hyped up on sugar, which is good. Yes. Psalms 106. You there?
Yeah.
You get Proverbs 16. Psalms 106, verse 43. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquities. Nevertheless, he regarded their afflictions, and he heard their cry. And he remembered them for them his covenant, and repented according to the multitudes of his mercies. He made them also to be what? Pitied of all those that carried them what? Captives. Notice, made them also to be what? Pitied. Of all those who carried them captive. You know what God's doing there? God sent Israel out into captivity, but he made the society that held them captives love them and pitied them and was kind affection towards them. You may wonder why God just did that. Remember why would you in the context of that verse we just read, why would God do that? Love. Not only love, what was the love that was conditioned in here? He remembered for them his what? Covenant promise. That's why he's not giving it up on them. Proverbs 16, verse 7. Where a man Proverbs 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's interesting, isn't it? Under law and under Israel's program, they were promised a political inheritance. And this verse says that when their ways please the Lord, when a man's walking according to God, even their enemies were influenced by it, and they were at peace with them. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2. Paul says almost the same thing, but in a different way. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for a few men.
All men.
How many?
All men.
For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all goodness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the truth. We're to pray for who? Kings and leaders, in order that we may what?
Live a peaceful life.
Yes, quiet and peaceful in our God-likeness, so that the gospel might get out. Hey, if you're out here complaining and causing problems, you think they're going to make it easy for you to get out here and get the gospel out?
Nobody's going to listen to you.
The dispensation might make a difference on how things come about, but the influence of that word going out and being preached by people who lies really, the reality of what they are preaching has an influence, guys. So when Daniel chapter 1, you see Daniel taking a stand, and he wasn't that some, you know, guy in the wilderness standing up and bellying out abuse. I demand this. You pull me out of here. I'm a eunuch. I'm a king's favorite, that type of thing. He was a pure man in the king's palace taking a stand. And Daniel wasn't going to compromise and be caught up in the religious system of that day. He's not going to contradict God's word. He takes a stand. And what? God stands with him. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thanks you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Any comments, questions?